98.1 KZE MK with you in the studio with me today. Delighted to have Jack Grace back again. Hello, Jack.
Hey, MK. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, it's been, I feel like it wasn't that long ago that we saw you.
We were wearing, I think, warmer clothes. That's the only thing I know. So it was some other season.
Better days, happier times.
Yeah.
How's your summer going? What have you been up to?
You know, just playing shows and... This is my first summer in 30 years that I'm not on tour most of the summer, because I came off a tour of Ireland and England back in April, May, and I just said, you know what, I have a four-year-old, I'm not going to go crazy, and I'm just enjoying the summer, playing shows all within an hour and a half of my home in Peekskill, maybe 2 hours stretch, and really enjoying it.
Nice.
Just playing all over the place, and put out three albums. So I put out an album a month. I started in April and put out the album, the new Jack Grace Band album called All the Above. It's got Earl Poobal, which was Johnny Cash's piano player, 25 years. He played with Gram Parsons. He's a walking encyclopedia of Americana history. And then my band, Stake, of 33 years. We have the big song Big Bear that's kind of notorious through Super Troopers 1 and 2. And we just put an album. And then I put out a children's album under my name, Wandering Jack.
Yeah.
With the idea that maybe, you know, they won't follow my debauchery from the past with that name, because they won't find me that way.
No, definitely not.
Yeah,
three albums. That is a heck of a lot of output.
Yeah, you know, because I figured, you know, we were talking about this, you know, albums make so much money now. I figured I'd just put three out and make three times the money.
There you go, cha-ching.
It's all about money. That's why I do this.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't actually like it.
I hate it. I hate this. I want to go home right now and watch a
music
movie.
Music and fun.
Music and fun are so overrated.
I couldn't agree. Community also stinks.
You know, I am just going to throw out there, since it just happened, you know, I am devastated by the loss of Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed eternal, didn't he?
Well, you know, here's where my head's been formulating. There's society and authority as one weight on one side. And on the other side of the scale was Ozzy. Pulling a hell of a lot of weight for a lot of us that all like to explore the ethereal and the unknown and all the things music that were about rebellion and beauty and having a good time and saying to hell with authority. And he was a very big, and he just somehow pulled it all off. I mean, you look at the guy's career, like just when Black Sabbath finally like makes like six amazing albums, and then the last two were drug addled and problematic, and you figure like Ozzy's burnt and out of it, and all of a sudden he comes out with these amazing Ozzy Osbourne albums,
solo and reinvents. Yeah,
and then after that you think, all right, it's done, and then he does the reality show and you're like, oh no, Ozzy's become a joke.
Right.
But that's not what ended up
happening.
He was in on the joke, and it ends up exposing how beautiful Ozzy is to the rest of the world, and he comes out on top. And then, you know, he does his final show. And 17 days after that, he passes. And here's an interesting fact that I cannot confirm, but I think is accurate. There's another wonderful musical hero, Lemmy. When he played his last show, he passed 17 days as well.
No
after
kidding.
His final show.
Interesting. This is going to be the new 27 Club.
Yeah. 17. You got 17 days after
17
your last show.
17 days. If you declare it as... Did Lemmy also declare it his last show?
I can't confirm that, but I do know, I guess it was like his, you know, his last show. Yeah, it must have been, because he said, you know, that he did, actually. I'm pretty sure he did. But my point is, like, I really feel this, because it feels like there's something that has shifted. It's different than other heroes that have passed, and that's obviously going to continue to happen, but like, this Ozzy thing feels like a real shift in something that balances the world of rebellion.
Don't say that.
Well, we can fix it. It's just that, you know, I have to say, because it's true, Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know how many jean jackets with paintings on the back he inspired? I mean, there's so many things he inspired.
Yeah.
So I feel changed by the loss of Ozzy, and it's a thing that a lot of people do. And, you know, I was playing a show the other night, and then right between sets, I just decided to, like, go through the PA and blast Children of the Grave full volume, and the place went bananas. It was a beautiful, cathartic moment.
Oh, thanks for that, because I was kind of unable to properly eulogize him on the day that he passed, because I'll be honest, I'm not like, I'm a casual, you know, and my husband really appreciates him. But I am more of a casual enjoyer. But I knew enough that I was able to pull off the top of my head. I love the song Dreamer. That's kind of a later solo Ozzy number, what, like early 2000s ish. And it was beautiful. Like, I love that song. It's got a gorgeous message. And it just shows what a big heart the man had.
Yeah, and you just, when you think, you can see a side of him where you could think he's almost a joke, and then you hear these certain things he's pulled off musically, you're like, this is no
joke.
And
he's always been so funny. I mean, we were watching some music videos of his the other night, and they're so camp and tongue-in-cheek, and I forget what song it was, but, you know, there's this crazy one where he's like a mad scientist, and it's just so over the top, and you know, it was all, I'm sure there were people at the time who were like, oh, he's so dark and satanic, but it was always a big joke.
It was always a joke. He had people, by the way, another thing, because he needs a plug, Ozzy, of all things, but you got to check out his autobiography. Is, you can do the audiobook, which I do these days with my schedule, or read it. It's one of the funniest things of all time. I could sit here and just tell stories from that book. But but I guess, you know, now we might as well talk about my records,
too. We're supposed
to
be talking about you,
That's just what came out. What can I tell
you? Let's play a song. Which one do you want to do first? One of the Steak ones? Or
let's start with
the
Steak. So here's my band of 33 years, Steak. We started in Boulder, Colorado in 1992. Did a lot of interesting things. We used to tour around with the Beat Farmers and, you know. Anyway, this is our first album in 27 years.
That is amazing. And all the original members?
The bass player was the hot seat. He's still around, but he hasn't been in there for a long time. But all three out of four are our original members. And Mike J, who plays bass now, we call him the new guy. He's the Ron Wood of the band, because he's only been in the band for 19 years.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Basically a child.
Yeah, totally. He was. It's just like Ron Wood was with the Stones, where he was in another band with us, you know, playing with us back in the early days. So you never had to tell him how things were when he came in the band. Mm-hmm. He's our Ron Wood.
Yeah. So which song should we listen to?
Why don't we just start with Chico, Fishing with Chico is a newer song we wrote, and we want it to be the summer hit. That's the goal of this song. You know? Well, track 7 is probably cool. I mean, we could get really weird and just play track 2, Veronica, which is close to me as Ozzy as it gets. Here we go. Chico.
Lost my job because I care too much. I guess I have to find another one. Every time when I try too hard, you know I never seem to get it all done. When I'm out with Chico, we just drink all day and cruise all night. When I'm home with the family, you know they always seem to put up a fight. I'm going fishing with Chico. I put my money on Chico. Got a car and it runs real good, but I have a little more to pay. The repo man started coming round, but I scared him and he ran away. I was out with Chico, we won $1 or $2 at the OTB. But my wife found the money and paid the balance on the utility. I'm going fishing with Chico. Put my money on Chico. I'm going fishing with Chico. I put my money on Chico. Thank you. everybody loves Chico. Some people took it wrong when it all went down. Anytime I'm in trouble, I know that Chico will be coming around. I'm going fishing with Chico. I put my money on Chico. I'm going fishing with Chico. I put my money on Chico. I'm going fishing with Chico. Fishing with Chico.
KZE, that's steak. New steak.
That's right. Brand new, juicy steak.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And that is available wherever music is found.
Yeah, you can find that on all those streaming sites and all those things. Or you can find the album at thejackgrace.com.
Tell me a little bit about this album art.
Oh, okay. So that was a poster from the 90s that someone had drawn.
Oh.
And we were looking for a cover, and we talked about, we always liked that image, and we said, wouldn't that look cool just as an album cover?
Yeah.
And our buddy Paul Horton drew it, and we just, we said, I don't know if I could find that poster.
Yeah.
He went into storage, and he found it and sent it to us, and there you go. Wham.
So because this is an audio medium, I will attempt to describe this. It looks to me like sort of like a Stonehenge type monument.
Yeah.
That is a large like T-bone.
Yeah.
From a stake, I imagine, surrounded by giant boulders, and there's little figures, silhouettes surrounding it, praying to it, perhaps.
Yeah, it could be like museum-like or praying to those T-bones.
I'm seeing like a temple in the background, too. It's a very interesting image. It's cool. It's open to interpretation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Jack Grace is my guest in the studio this afternoon on KZE, having a very busy summer, putting out all kinds of music.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the new Jack Grace Band record.
Okay, the new Jack Grace Band album is called All the Above. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first album I've done in a little bit, and it's, but, you know, I wrote these songs during COVID, and it's really different than the other Jack Grace Band things. There was a guy in Germany who likes my hard rock stuff, and he sent me a thing when he goes, I must admit, Jack, I do not care for this record very much.
What?
It is too soft. You are singing about your child, and so then 3 months later, he sends me a message. He goes, okay, I get it now, and I love your record. And
aww.
It took, you know, I think that's the blessing and the curse of the Jack Grace Band music, is that sometimes it takes, you have to listen to them a few times to get what's going on. It doesn't always hit everybody right away. Maybe it's a little too cerebral sometimes, but he came around.
That is some of the best music and some of the most interesting music,
sure.
Because that means it's multi-layered. And I will tell you, as a person who works in a job where I listen to music all day, every day, there will be songs that for months I'll be listening to them and thinking like, yeah, that song's all right. And then one day I will be listening to it differently, whether it's in a different headspace, or I catch a lyric I hadn't caught before, or a bass line I hadn't caught before. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I actually love this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the fun of recorded music, is that you try to put those layers in with the idea that people are going to put some time in on them.
Yeah, absolutely. So what should we listen to first?
Why don't we listen to Wrong to Feel Right? Because people haven't heard that one. And it's got Earl Poubal on piano. Now, Earl Poubal was Johnny Cash's piano player for 25 years, but he was also Lee Hazelwood's piano player.
Oh, wow.
He was also Graham Parsons' piano player, and he was also Buck Owens' piano player. And so Earl was like old school country, and he bridged the gap between like Graham Parsons, like, so basically the acid taking country world and where the classic country world met, and they were literally all talking to Earl, like, why do you like those guys? Why do you like those guys? And he plays on Sweetheart of the Rodeo with the Byrds, with Gram Parsons, and that's a big part of his influence. So he listened to the songs, and he decided, he's like, oh, I want to play on this one. And I think if you listen to this one, you hear his piano playing, I think he brings a little Harry Nilsson magic to this track.
I'm going to try to push the number 7 and see if that does what it's supposed to do.
Let's see if old school, the CD player, we're playing CDs, folks. Because they're so popular, CDs, they sell like hotcakes.
Well, I gave up on giving up, so I moved to another town. Set the place on fire, didn't mean to burn it down. Wrong people, so I tried to apologize. Woke up on a hotel floor without the chance to say goodbye. Why do I have to do something wrong to feel right? Do something right. Will it feel wrong? If it feels right, I will try it all night long. Arrested in Jasper, Tennessee, where they laughed and smoked our stash. They knew that we were Yankees, a little chance to make some cash. Somewhere in West Virginia, and I'm wearing a disguise. Left your car running at the airport, and I can see it from the sky. Why do I have to do something wrong to feel right? Do something right. Will it feel wrong? If it feels right, I will try it all night long. I will try it all night long. I will try it all night long.
KZE, new from the Jack Grace Band. The album is All the Above. We got Jack Grace in the studio with us today. I've been looking at this cover art, and this is beautiful. I love this painting.
Thank you. That's Steve Keen, who Time Magazine called the assembly line Picasso.
Assembly line Picasso.
He churns them out. He's all about just putting art out there and not trying to get the big dollar, but just getting art everywhere.
Good
and
for
he
him.
His medium is mainly painting on wood.
Yeah.
And I first saw his paintings at the Lakeside Lounge in the East Village back in the day, and the whole bar was covered in his paintings. Mm-hmm. And they're all over the East Village. He's a beautiful, wonderful man, and I sent him a drawing with the idea of what I wanted of All the Above, the idea that like the All the Above would be in the ground and turn into roots and turn into a tree coming up.
Yeah.
And he said, I love it. And then he just sent me two giant wood paintings, and I said, well, can I pay you? And he said, just give me a CD.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's gorgeous. Yeah, the colors are beautiful. It evokes a lot of emotions for me. I would hang it on my wall.
All right.
Yeah. So should we listen to one more? We got time for
sure,
one more.
Sure, let's listen to one more. Let's see, you want to pick a title? Let's try it by name.
I kind of want to hear one of the ones about your child. And is perhaps number 12, perhaps?
Yeah, the last one. And yeah, I'm proud of that track. And she sings on it. My daughter at that point, she's 3 or 2, when she sang. I got her to do a vocal. I put her on the track. So here, Amelia Maple will be making her WKZE premiere.
KZE. I'm glad I picked that one. That's a perfect one to end on. What was that like? Did you just have her like in the studio and just going nuts, just telling her to say whatever she wants?
I put the headphones on her. She was pretty young at the time, and I just sort of like let her. I put a speaker in front, or a microphone in front of her, and just did a few different takes, And I left everything. One thing I wanted to do is put not move anything in time that she said.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, wouldn't it be cuter if it was here?
Oh, really?
No, I just, everything's where it was.
That's cool. Yeah. There was one, like, I think it was an I Love You or something that was, like, very nicely placed.
Yeah, and she, no, those are all in real time, and that felt to me to make it more real.
That's really cute. Yeah.
And I played the Chromonic harmonica in there, which gave it to me, gives it a little like a Sam Peckinpah movie kind of feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. And that's one of those ones you get to, you know, the right moment you can play. You know, here's an interesting fact. A waltz has not been a hit in the 21st century.
Huh.
And also a instrumental. We have not had an instrumental hit in the 21st century.
Like a Billboard Hot 100 hit?
Yeah.
Interesting. Like,
in every other decade, there was always plenty of instrumental hits, and a waltz would occasionally become a hit.
Yeah.
But there has not been a waltz hit, so, you know, it's time.
You know what's funny? I think, was it, oh man, I was listening to something the other day, and it was in 3/4, and I was like, huh, you don't hear a lot of like 3/4 pop.
No.
The only one I ever can think of off the top of my head is the Elliott Smith one, which is...
Oh. Which one is in 3/4 the Elliott Smith?
I think it's called Waltz Number 2.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah. I love Elliott Smith.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, interesting. Okay, well, maybe this will be it.
Yeah, this must be it, for sure.
Jack Grace in the studio with me. Thank you so much for stopping
Always
by.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, and where are you playing?
Let's see. I will be playing tonight, if you're around, at Keegan Ailes at 6 p.m. And then there's always shows. You can always find me at jackgrace.com. And then I think I'll be playing the Johnny Cash Fest at the Warwick Winery.
Cool.
And, you know, there's plenty of shows. And then I'll be at the Troghaven Whiskey Pub in Tivoli in, I believe, the first week of August on a Friday.
All right.
So there's always dates here and everything within 2 hours of Peekskill.
Very cool. Jack Grace, check out the new albums, Jack Grace Band, Steak, and the kids' album, too.
Wandering Jack, you can find, yeah.
Wandering Jack. We got your community bulletin board and some more local music up next. Brunel Pines on the way.